Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Jenny. Oh, God. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Taylor.
Starting off with a bang.
Starting off strong.
With a crack. You know, this makes sense because our second episode ever was the Kraken.
Wow. Was it really?
It was.
Well, we had Dark and Stormies.
We had Dark and Stormies.
We got drunk.
We were hammered. And I am not saying that we are hammered right now, right here, but we do have drinks.
We do. We have, what are you drinking? What
I
do you
am
have?
Drinking a Rheingeist Juicy Truth, which is a hazy, juicy IPA.
Ooh, I do love a hazy IPA. I am drinking a Cran Orange Wheat from Great Lakes Brewing Company.
Mm. That's a local one to me.
Local to you, not local to me, because here we are in Taylor's home of Ohioland.
Ohio, the sea cities of Ohio. Speaking of sea cities, Rheingeist is made in Cincy.
So. Oh, I love that.
Also in Ohio.
I have never stopped and stayed in Cincy.
I haven't either.
It's always been like a drive through.
Never even driven through.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
You know what? I got a thing in the mail. Honestly, now this just reminded me of it, but probably like a solid 8 months ago. That said, I owed money for crossing the Ohio River. And I'm like, I am never in Ohio. Ever. But wait, there's more. Turns out the Ohio River like separates Indiana from Kentucky.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, geography.
Yes, it does. But I haven't been, like, I haven't crossed that toll in like 2 years.
Hmm.
I know.
So did you just ignore it?
I sure did. Well, because I feel like if it was real,
they would tell you again.
They would tell, well, they would tell me in a way that's better than mail.
No, I think that that's just the way they're going to tell you.
You think?
Mm-hmm. How else are they going to tell you?
Call me.
How do they have your phone number?
Google me.
You're giving a lot of credit to somebody who's getting paid minimum wage.
I'm sure that whatever, like, highway patrol that regulates toll roads is probably not going to Google me to call me. But something about mail is suspicious to me.
The original form of communication is suspicious to you.
Well, I don't think mail was the first way.
Okay, but maybe not USPS, but like.
Wait, okay, maybe like written. I was like, there's no way.
That was the first thing. You have to go to this post office and buy stamps, Jenny. I'm just saying that like they would write something on a piece of paper and it would get delivered to your dwelling.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I see that and I hear you, but I still feel like it's so, because there's so much junk and like your name and your address is public record. Like anybody and their mom can go get that and send you a letter.
I just got a letter from Jehovah's Witness.
See?
Oh, a handwritten. And if they would have Googled anything and put my first name on this instead of Dear Neighbor, the tailspin that I would have found myself in, because it was like a handwritten letter and it was just like no intro into.
They didn't have a thesis statement, an introduction paragraph, no
hitting
conclusion.
Hitting me straight with Bible verses from the jump.
Oh.
And if that would have just come to me, I would have had many panic attacks about it. Like, who knows me that is going to be sending me just Bible verses? That is suspicious.
That's suspicious for you because you live in, like, a community here. But, like, as a, like... And you did, too. I get, like, stuff addressed to my home under my address all the time.
Yeah.
Just from whomstever.
Right.
whomstever.
The whoozy what's-its.
The whoozy what's-its. It's really bad when you buy a house. So there are, like, mail scams because the deed gets recorded. So it's, like, fresh information. And people will steal, like, the logos. See, here's what I'm saying. People get on Google and they Google, like, logos from lending companies and from title companies and make it look incredibly real.
Wow.
And it's bonkers, the amount of mail that you get. So that's why I don't trust the mail. I thought it was a scam. I really, and I still do. Because they said you're not going to be able to, like, renew your stuff if you don't pay this. But I just renewed my license on my birthday, so. And that was like hunky dory. I don't have a glasses restriction on my new license.
You should.
I well, yes, I should. No, I absolutely should. I absolutely should. Oh, man. Do you know what one of my biggest fears is? That I will see, I mean, I won't see, but I'll run into somebody in public who, like, sees me.
Oh, yeah.
And I, and they think that, like, I ignore them, but really, I can't, I'm blind. Like, I, if you're not within 6 feet of me, I can't see you.
Watercolors.
Water, it, that's, it's a beautiful blur.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's my fear.
You know, my fear when it comes to, like, glasses?
What?
Is getting, being in my car and being mm-hmm. stranded.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have contacts and I can't see shit without my glasses, like almost legally blind, can't see shit without my glasses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am terrified of getting stranded or kidnapped in some way that makes me have to choose if I'm going to sleep with my contacts in for several days and let them like dry out and be ruined.
Uh-huh.
Or if I'm just...
Risk the eye infection.
Yeah.
Mm, uh-huh. I can see how that would be upsetting.
Yeah.
You don't want to get Velma'd.
No.
Out in the
world.
But
I would be. That would
you
be
would
me,
be
like,
crawling
in
around.
The woods.
Yeah.
And in my nightmares, it's always like a snowstorm.
Really?
Yeah. I'm always stranded in a snowstorm.
I've been having nightmares like the past couple evenings. And this is after like probably 8 months of not having dreams at all. I know. I stopped. I don't know what happened. I stopped dreaming. I stopped sleeping for like a bit.
Oh, that would explain it.
But like restless. It's like I would get a couple hours of sleep a night, but like in 45 minute increments. But I'll sleep like a solid 6 hours and I
just be plagued with nightmares.
Just, well, that's only recently.
Oh,
but okay. Yes, plagued with nightmares. Just like spooky, weird, spooky, weird vibes. You know, like liminal spaces, like hospitals flooded with water. You know, when I was a kid, I used to have like the best dreams where I would go about my daily life, but the ground was ice and I was ice skating. Like I'd at my school, the
Fun.
Floor would be an ice skating rink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to those?
Where did those go?
I don't remember the last time I woke up and I was like, I just had the best dream.
Oh God. No, me either. Me either. But seasonal depression has some pretty deep clutches in me right now.
That's true. Yeah. It's still here.
Oh, it's still here.
And it's still horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just doing the best we can. We're gonna move this table up a tiny bit.
Oh,
it got pushed.
We're gonna.
There we go. And now I'll be able to like.
Welcome back. Taylor, edit that out.
Oh my god.
Are you gonna remember how to edit?
Yeah.
Okay.
that was not that difficult.
Man, it's a little. Like cozy,
yeah,
comfy vibes in here.
Well, right that's now. Because I can change my lights in my living room now to match whatever vibe I want, which has been the most fun. I am so glad, and I have it in my bedroom too.
Oh, you do.
So I can turn my bedroom lights to like green or whatever.
So you could like get some super cozy,
yeah,
rest.
Oh, super cozy vibes.
Like a little perhaps Sandman-y vibes.
Are you doing the Sandman?
I'm covering the Sandman.
Stop. Hold on. I'm so excited. Okay. I don't know very much about this, so I am super excited to learn.
There's not a whole, it's cool. I mean, it's European as in like a little Greek folklore. Again, I accidentally did like two in a row. I didn't mean to do that, but I was like, yeah, What is the Sandman?
What is that?
What's that about? Because really, the idea of a man coming in to your house at night and breaking in and
not ideal.
Throwing shit in your face and leaving is kind of an icky vibe, really.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to determine how icky. What the fuck was that?
That was my ice maker.
Oh my God, Taylor. I almost crawled out of my skin.
Oh my God. Sounds like knocks though.
Immediate cortisol.
You end a firefly. Oh. I'm so sorry.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah, that was unfortunately the ice maker, but I guess it's better that than the crazy knock that for a second I thought it was. I thought it was like two knocks at one time.
Oh, for a second. The police, you think?
Yeah, I was thinking like double fisted knocks. No.
Taylor.
Sorry.
Do you want to hear about the Sandman?
Yes, I do. I want nothing more.
Edit that out.
Edit that out.
Thanks, girl.
Your powers are back. How do you feel?
I hate drunk with power, really. Okay. Like many figures in mythology, the Sandman has convoluted origins. Don't we all? Don't we all? And the role that he plays across fairy tales and stories are complex as well. And it seems like the figure of the Sandman most likely got its start just in oral tradition. Not, it was a turn of phrase.
Oh, okay.
That was noted in 18th century German dictionaries, which chronicled, it's an idiom, of Der Sandman kommt. Which means the Sandman is coming.
Okay.
It's a super easy translation. I really had to rack my brain for that college German education.
We reached in.
We looked inward. Metaphorically, it referred to the idea that somebody looked as though, like when they were about to fall asleep and you like rub your eyes the same way that you rub your eyes if you get like dirt or something else in them. And it was just a colloquialism that was used. But... before I proceed and tell you more, I'm going to tell you a bedtime story.
Yes!
Are you ready? Okay, so get cozy.
Okay, hold on. I'm cozy.
Are you? Okay. Hold on, I'm not cozy.
We're going to share blankies.
Oh my god, fully cozed.
It's precious.
Okay. This is cute of us. Okay. There is nobody in the world who knows as many stories as Ole Luke Oe, who can relate them so nicely in the evening while the children are seated at the table or in their little chairs. And he comes up the stairs very softly, for he walks in his socks, and then he opens the doors without the slightest noise and sprinkles their eyelids with sleeping cream, just enough to prevent them from keeping them open, so they do not see him.
Mm.
Then he creeps behind them and blows softly upon their necks until their heads begin to droop. But Ole Luke Oe does not wish to hurt them, for he is very fond of children and only wants them to be quiet that he may relate to them pretty stories. And they never are quiet until they are in bed asleep. As soon as they fall asleep, Ole Luke Oe seats himself upon the bed. He's nicely dressed, and his coat is made of silken fabric. It's impossible to say of what color, for it changes from green to red and from red to blue as he turns from side to side. Under each arm, he carries an umbrella. One of them, with pictures on the inside, he spreads over the good children. And then they dream the most beautiful stories the whole night. But the other umbrella has no pictures, and this he holds over the naughty children so that they sleep heavily and wake in the morning without having dreams at all.
Oh, I love it.
It's a surprisingly heartwarming little tale for most of the fairy tales that we talk about, especially considering that that one that I just read was written by Hans Christian Andersen, who we know has a penchant for adding absolutely for no reason wretched, gruesome details for children.
Absolutely heinous. Why?
Why? Everything is so upsetting. But and for what? I know. Other than the milk. The sleeping, because it's sleeping cream is what it used to be. And he used to sprinkle milk on your eyes.
On your eyeballs.
On your eyeballs. Ew. Ew, milk really gives me the willies.
Yeah, it does. You don't like it.
Mm-mm. Nothing about it.
Well.
This particular Hans Christian Andersen story was nice, charming, sweet, and is the grand debut of that darling little character with a gnome hat who skillfully evades me each night while I wrestle with my demons and past mistakes, the Sandman.
I'm sorry that he passes you by.
I know.
He's like, girl's busy.
Right on by my house. She hasn't even shut her laptop yet.
I'll get it on the next round.
I'll circle back. Anderson sold us that tale in 1841, but one of the first ever written records outside of the oral tradition of the Sandman was in 1816, written by E.T.A. Hoffman. It was titled Dear Sandman, and according to the protagonist's nurse in the story, it's told from her point of view, the Sandman was a foul little goblin who would throw sand in the eyes of children who would not sleep, and the result of that were their eyeballs falling out of their head.
Oh, there it is.
And being collected by the Sandman, who then takes the eyeballs in his sack to his iron nest on the moon and uses them to feed his Sandman babies.
Oh.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Found it.
There. Oh, there. I know you were wondering when it was coming. It's there.
Yeah.
It's
what
there.
What a sharp left.
To his iron nest on the moon?
Right.
I want you to know. So this one is like a little bit shorter, but I just like Googled like, where did the legend of the Sandman come from?
Yeah.
And that is what I read. And I was like, oh, I got it.
That's it. Found it. I love it.
I'm going to figure out how to make a story out of this. So clearly the idea of the Sandman originates from like Germanic Scandinavian folklore, but it may actually be an evolution of the idea of Morpheus. Morpheus?
Oh, okay.
As in the Matrix guy. That's a character in the Matrix, yeah? Morpheus. I'm pretty sure that's like a dude.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Do you want me to Google? No.
No, I don't. I really don't care that
People
much.
Are going to either be yelling at us or...
or not caring. So, anyway, which on. Is the boat I'm in. So Morpheus was one of Oneroi. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that. Oneroi, Greek is... I don't speak Greek. It's from Greco-Roman mythology. And in that mythology, the Oneroi meant dreams.
Oh, okay.
So they were big, terrible, beautiful creatures with black wings, and the Romans named three of them. There was Phobator, which meant the terrifier. And this was the Oneroi that brought you nightmares and night terrors and sleepwalking and
like
sleep paralysis. No, we hate him, Phobator. Ew, ick. Hate him.
Phobatorian.
Get out of here. And then Morpheus, which translates to form, because his origin story, I'm going off script now, was his original role was to portray like the truth in dreams, and he would be sent as a messenger to take human form in while humans were sleeping to be able to relay messages from the gods. So he represented like the truth in dreams. And then they also named Phantasmos.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. We like Phantasmos, the fantasy filled dreams. But although they were beautiful and fun, the ice skating rink floor and this, they are full of deception and trickery. And he is not to be trusted.
No.
And those names can actually be found in Metamorphosis by Ovid. Go look it up. Is there.
Okay.
There's a quote. So Hans Christian Andersen's version is pretty much the one that stuck. And even in elongated versions of that tale reference Ole Luke Oe's brother, Death.
Oh.
In that original, the full version, which I was not going to read to you. But in Greek mythology, Death is Morpheus's uncle.
What?
I know. So, but I thought that this is a last little note, but I thought it was so cool that in both versions of this, death was so closely related to sleep.
Right.
Like family, one is just a breath away
from
the other.
Hmm.
And that's the story of the Sandman.
Very fun.
May he visit us all.
Please.
And not the nightmare one.
Right. No, Phobatorian can
get out of here. Phoebes, get out of here.
Yeah, it's not the one for us.
Morpheus only. Taylor, edit that out.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
October.
We didn't introduce a new cat.
We haven't talked about any of the cats. So.
Oh, yeah.
If you were just listening to Jenny's story and you hear a very annoyed cat in the background, that's Piper. She's got a new personality. She is grumpy. And
oh, she's mad now.
Yeah.
Come here, girlfriend. Oh, all right, bye.
Mm-hmm.
She, well, tell the people why she's mad. She had a loss in the family.
We lost Happy Cat.
A moment of silence.
A moment of silence for Happy Boy. I had to put him down in September, and it was absolutely horrid.
Gut-wrenching?
Yeah, it was not great. I have not cried about an animal like that in so long. But, oh, girl.
It's so hard.
It was
hard.
Bad.
Oh,
it
okay. Was rough. He was the best boy, too.
Sweetest angel. Sweetest angel. So, yeah. And I have a guest kitten named Clover.
And Clover girl.
Clover girl. And she's also a black cat. She's sweet baby.
She's like a, she's like God said copy paste. Yeah. On Piper.
Yeah. Clover is a little younger than Pipe. She's, I think, 5.
She's like the other woman. Maybe Pipes is jealous. She's like the younger.
Sleeker version.
Sleeker version. The upgraded. It's like the iPhone 7 versus like the iPhone 15 Pro Max. Like.
Right. What are you going to do?
How the res just isn't there. It's not going to hold up.
No. Yeah.
We still love you, Pipes. You just need a factory reset.
She's sweet. I want to tell you she's a sweet baby, but she's really
She mad. Did just puke in your shoe.
She did. She got mad and puked in my shoe. She has gotten mad. She started to get, when she gets mad, she poops by my front door.
Uh-huh. Donut pees in my dryer when he gets mad at me.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. I love.
They really do know how to, like, push those buttons.
They're.
yeah, so it's fine. I fostered kittens. Recently, and that was a blast, and Piper also really did not love that, but
she's been through a lot this
year. Yeah, I really did a number to her. Do you want to go first or should I?
I just went. So you go second, babe.
I just treated that like an intro gab. We're rusty, Jenny. I'm rusty. We haven't done this in a minute. Okay. Do you want to hear about a creature feature?
Wouldn't you die if I was just like, no, not really?
You would be like, so what I'm gonna have to do, I think, is probably write a squishy wishy marshmallow story.
Uh-huh.
And just keep it, and that way if I start a story and you are like, girl, I can't, I can switch gears.
We probably should do that, actually. This is the new pocket episode.
It is.
Necessity.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I really can't explain.
That's
why.
Okay.
I
sorry.
I just, something of it affects my heart differently. Mm-hmm. It makes me sound so lame.
But it doesn't make you sound lame. It makes you sound like your heart cares a lot about things.
My heart cares a lot about things. Yep. So I'll take that. My heart cares a lot about stuff. That's real. I've never cared about anything a little.
No.
It's either nothing.
Yeah.
Or all of it.
Every single thing.
All of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All in kind of gal.
All in. Don't do anything at a 2.
Mm-mm.
10 or nothing.
What are you telling me about? A cryptid?
A creature feature.
A creature? Is it dragons?
No. Oh. I kind of wish it was dragons. Maybe it's dragons.
What?
Hold on. Might be. Okay. Let me tell you the story.
Do you know what you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
But dragon adjacent.
Okay. Ooh, they're goblins, ghouls?
They're crocodiles.
Cool.
All right.
Those are real, though. Trick me.
They are real, but they're kind of close to a dragon. They look kind of like dragons.
That's true. They're like a billion. They're the oldest, like.
It's a dinosaur.
Literally.
Yeah. Okay. So, you guys already know that I love a creature feature and an animal attack.
Ooh.
So, we're going to get into both. Today we're going to talk about the Ramree Island Massacre.
A massacre?
A massacre.
Committed by crocodiles?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Okay, go on.
It's World War II.
Okay.
Picture yourself.
Paint the scene.
Yeah. A part of the Japanese, a Japanese military squad stuck on a tropical island, surrounded by the enemy. You need to meet up with another military group on the other side of the island. The only issue is that the only route is to go through a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
The swamp is known to be home of just the most gigantic crocodiles.
On Earth?
Just generally gigantic.
How big are crocodiles?
I will tell you in another paragraph.
Okay, sorry. I'll wait.
Please wait.
Okay.
And the Japanese had a tough choice. They couldn't stay put. If they did, they would be killed by the British troops that were closing in on them. So it was like either that or risk it by going into the swamp.
Gotta risk it for the biscuit, baby.
Risk it for the biscuit. So the British, the whole reason we're even here to begin with is that the British wanted to build an air base in this area of Ramri Island, which is on the west side of Myanmar.
Myanmar.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And just north of Myanmar? Thailand.
Myanmar?
Myanmar? Yeah. However, thousands of Japanese troops held the island, causing a battle that has already lasted 6 weeks.
Holy macaroni.
So by the time we're here, everybody's toast. Everybody is tired.
Ugh.
Probably not well fed and probably not making the best decisions.
Sure.
So.
It's hard to think critically under dire circumstances.
Yeah. So the British Royal Marines and the 36th Indian Infantry Brigade found themselves in a standoff at this point, 6 weeks in.
Okay.
So, final kind of battle going on.
It's the final countdown.
Oh, so, they're in a standoff, and then the British pulled some sneaky shit.
Yeah.
And outflanked the Japanese and split their squad in two.
Oh, sneaky, sneaky rats.
Yeah, so they took like 2,000 soldiers, split them in two. So 1,000 of these soldiers are the ones that have to go through the swamp to meet with their buds.
1,000 soldiers have to go through the swamps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's like a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just confirming. I'm trying to imagine 1,000 people in my head.
Are you like lining them up like ants to go through the swamp?
Yeah, how are they? Are they hand holding? Yeah, as a crowd? Are we going
wide or skinny?
Single file?
Single file?
Or are we like lining up in blocks?
Right. I kind of pictured blocks.
Yeah, but think of all the swamp accoutrement that's around that would make it so hard to maintain your rank.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We
may never have.
We already would have made wrong decisions here.
I just think that I would have stayed put and been like, let me try to talk myself out of this.
What are you going to say?
I don't know.
Okay.
Hopefully something endearing.
I'd have a better chance of sweet talking my way out of a crocodile than a British soldier.
Okay. You turn it into a pet.
Oh my gosh, the Adventurers Down Under, have you ever seen what? That? The Rescuers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had the other one with the lady where the little girl had Bianca. To go down to the mine. Yeah, Bianca, and then that lady rode her crocodiles.
Oh, yeah!
Remember that? Wow.
What was her name?
I dug that memory out of the trenches, girl.
I have no shame in saying that I actually love that movie, so it hasn't been that long since I've seen it. Cannot remember her name, though. But it's Bernard and Bianca.
Yeah, the mice, the rescuers.
Yeah, the mice. I love that.
Yeah.
Don't ever watch the first one.
I love the first one.
Oh, I did watch that one. I was a full-grown adult.
Hurt your heart.
Oh, my God.
Tears.
I think the way that you're trying to cry about true crime right now, I would sob my eyes out if I had to watch that movie today.
Cody.
No.
That was his name, that little boy.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, that's the second one.
What? What's the first one?
The Rescuers? They do, they try to rescue this orphan girl from the same lady that rides her crocodile.
Yeah.
And she's an orphan. And
she has to go down in the cave when it's flooding and get the diamond. Yeah, that's the same. No. I think is that the second one?
Cody is the Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, sorry. I loved that one. Mostly the snake. The snake was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The snake. I like albatross.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and also, was that a snake or a lizard? It had legs, I think.
Oh, it might have been a lizard.
Joanna. Joanna. That was her name.
What a funny movie.
So I'm so sorry. We have taken you so far away.
Wow. Okay, we're finding our way back.
This is what people hated about us before.
I know. They're going to hate it still.
You're going to hate it again.
Yep, hate it again, because there is just no stopping us. Okay. So Now, instead of just sitting back, the British soldiers tried to have a powwow with the Japanese. And they were like, you guys, we got you surrounded.
Can we say powwow?
I don't know. Okay. If I am not allowed to say that, I will retract that statement and we're just going to move on. They were trying to get them to surrender.
Word.
But the Japanese soldiers were not having it. So they were like, no, 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 we don't give up that easily. So they embarked on a casual and scenic 8-mile journey through a mandrake swamp. Mangrove swamp.
Mandrake?
Mandrake swamp. They pull them up and they're like, ah. Okay.
8 miles of swamp?
Of swamp.
Oh, your feet are toast.
Oh, yeah. Your body is toast. We're not getting across this in like an hour.
No.
No. No. Days.
Wow. Through the swamp. Ick.
Yeah. Not good.
Tell me more.
So the mangrove swamp was like a mud obstacle course, making it an even slower journey.
My worst nightmare. I know it's between your toes.
Absolutely. The British knew exactly what the Japanese were up against, which was a natural death trap of crocodiles. And we're not talking about your average reptilian here. We're talking saltwater crocs, which is like the Godzilla of the crocodiles.
Oh.
These beasts can grow up to 23 feet long and weigh 2,200 pounds.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
A mid-sized sedan?
Yeah. With chompers.
Oh, let my brain think about 23 feet. That's 2 yard lines. Right? No. Is that right? That can't be right.
10 yards is a yard line. So,
oh, less than that.
2 yards. 23.
Wow. Wow.
Think about how many steps that would take in marching band.
Oh my lord. That's huge. I'm sorry. I'm just now learning about how big crocodiles are. That's insane.
Big. Nose to tippy tail.
And like a third of that is head.
With teeth. And they've got really sharp claws.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Okay, so crocs, big. Swamps are their VIP lounges, and humans stand no chance against their speed, size, agility, and raw power. So the British were wise to just be like, y'all can have your crocs. We're not following you in there.
We'll see you on the other side.
Yeah. Nah. Mm-mm. So they were like, okay.
Okay, we'll fight the crocs?
No, I was talking about the British just being like, okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, peace out to the Japanese. Yeah.
But the Japanese were like, I guess we're going to fight the crocs. Because they weren't going to get killed by the British. They'd rather risk it for the biscuit.
They would rather get eaten by a crocodile than get killed by the British.
Yeah.
What a choice.
Yeah. So, the Japanese were well aware that saltwater crocs had a thing for munching on humans. But that did not stop them from just giving it a shot. So even though this is like they knew that like all of this could happen, and the culture that they came from, I'm sure that they were very aware of what's like the dangers of this, where I can't imagine British people were like knowing what crocodiles were like, right? So
right,
the fact that they were just like, nah, we're still gonna try that is wild to me.
That is like, isn't that, because there's that tradition of like samurais that throw themselves upon the sword. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's do I want to say like ego thing, but like a pride. Like I would rather
be in charge of my own death than let you control this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I don't think it's ego. I think it is pride. So, the Japanese ventured in, and unfortunately, it turned into a horror show, not unlike the USS Indianapolis shark attack that happened that same year.
Huh?
For American troops. And I've already covered this in episode 54.
Nature bites back. same year?
Yeah.
World War II was rough.
Yeah.
Golly.
So, I can't imagine, like, all your friends coming back from the war and, like, telling you all of these, like, horrible stories of, like, battles and stuff like that, and you're like, a bunch of my guys got eaten by sharks.
I was in the water for 3 days.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
The Japanese were up against more than just crocodiles. So we have to think about diseases, dehydration, starvation, mosquitoes, spiders, snakes, and scorpions.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not think about swamp spiders.
Oh. Not only would you be worried about what was biting at your toesies, but also coming from on top.
I would be begging the British to kill me.
Take me out.
I would be on my knees.
Oh. No.
Oh, yeah. God.
We got a lot going on.
Yeah.
So Mother Nature's serial killers were just in full force every which way you look.
This is awful.
Under the cover of darkness, the British soldiers recounted a harrowing night filled with the desperate screams and gunfire echoing from the swamp. The source of these screams remained a mystery, but the leaving soldiers, these terrified screams remained a mystery, leaving the soldiers with an eerie sense that the Japanese troops were facing a really bad time.
But did the echoing screams in the night indicate that maybe they were having a rough go of things in the swamp?
Yeah, it wasn't going good.
Oh. Oh my God.
So what happened was that the crocodiles decided to launch an assault upon the Japanese soldiers. And naturalist Bruce Stanley Wright vividly depicted the unfolding scene in his 1962 book, Wildlife Sketches Near and Far.
Oh, he drew it?
So I don't think he drew it. I think he just like wrote about it.
Okay.
But this guy was in the war, and he was also, he like went on to become a like biologist and naturalist. And,
oh, very cool.
Like wrote a bunch of books about that. So that's kind of why it's in this book.
Solid.
But also like plays on his
this was history. Like his whole gig.
Yeah. So he says that night was the most horrible night any member of the ML crews have ever experienced. The crocodiles, alerted by the din of warfare and the smell of blood, gathered among the mangroves, lying with their eyes above water, watchfully alert for the next meal. With the ebb of the tide, the crocodiles moved in on the dead, wounded, and uninjured men who had become mire and mud. The scattered rifle shots in the pitch-black swamp, punctured by the screams of the wounded men, crushed in the jaws of huge reptiles, and the blurred, worrying sound of spinning crocodiles, made a cacophony of hell that has rarely been duplicated on Earth. As at dawn, the vultures cleaned up what the crocodiles had left.
Carnage. Do you also know what's funny? How I know that you like grew up a reader.
Why?
Because cacophony.
Cacophony.
That's how. Do you know how I used to say chaos?
How?
I thought it was. I'm too embarrassed to say this on the internet. I thought it was chows.
Oh.
I always think it's so fun when you can tell that people grew up a reader.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My bad.
No, don't apologize.
Okay, so saltwater crocodiles actually have a notorious track record of attacking humans, especially in the Ramaree swamps. So, unfortunately, only 520 out of the 1,000 Japanese soldiers made it in one piece.
Half. Run those numbers by me again.
Half.
1,000 went in?
Yep.
How many came out?
520.
Oh my God.
That is like 52%.
That's literally 52%. Those are bad. 500? How many crocodiles? Okay, how many crocodiles are in there? We're talking one person per croc?
I don't know.
So, but they were like in a frenzy.
Yes.
Because there had been blood and
gore.
Booming and. They were just waiting. They were hungry for it.
Oh, yeah.
Ew, sick.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine, and they don't go into this. This is my own kind of thoughts is 8 mile trek across the swamp. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So these guys are in there for several days. So they probably went in like relatively healthy, relatively like able bodied. And the longer they spent in the swamp
mucking around,
the more they were succumbing to like the diseases, the dehydration, poisonous snakes, all those things. So they're just starting to leave a trail of dead bodies that I'm sure the crocodiles,
Hansel and Gretel. Like,
yeah. You breadcrumbed them right to you.
It's giving, what was that story about the lions in Africa that like picked?
Oh, the Tsavo lions.
Yeah. Yeah. It's giving that where they just picked off
Those lions were smart. I think these crocodiles are just really good at
They're just doing waiting. Crocodile stuff.
Waiting. Yeah. So I think they probably like got this taste and they knew that they were pretty easy pickings.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't know what caused the frenzy of that night where a bunch of people got attacked.
500 people?
Well, so we don't know how many people got attacked by crocodiles versus how many people died along the way.
Okay, got it.
So
half made it out.
Half made it out.
Bad odds.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. Whew. Could you imagine, like, your family, like, thinking you got eaten by a crocodile, but really, like, you died because a mosquito bit you?
Honestly, I'm dead. It's none of my business. Y'all can think whatever you want. I could not care. However, if I got to choose, I would rather pick crocodile because mm-hmm. I feel like that is a quicker death than whatever
mosquito nonsense.
Bite, waterborne infection, mm-hmm. fucking swamp disease, ick.
Yeah. No, no, no.
No, I'll just have a crocodile take my arm and let me bleed out in the swamp. That'll be just fine.
4 minute stops.
Mm.
That would be a long 4 minutes, but that would be a longer like 4 weeks of dying from your arm decaying off your body or something.
Well, like all of your troops like left you, like, you know what I mean? You were too weak to move on and now you're just laying face up in the swamp.
Oh,
watching the birds pick at your friends around you. Oh God. Sorry. I made myself sad.
Your feelings are so fragile right now.
Oh, that's awful. Sweet.
Okay, so poor. Moving on. Unfortunately, when they made it to the other side, some of the soldiers were so battered and mauled, it made it really easy for the British forces to recapture them later.
Uh-huh.
So you might have made it through the swamp, and you still might have gotten captured by the British. But... guess what made it into the Guinness Book of World Records?
Oh, what?
Uh-huh. The Ramree Island Massacre was crowned as the biggest crocodile attack in history.
Great.
Mm-hmm. So, like we were talking about a minute ago, the numbers game gets a little bit tricky when it comes to the death toll.
Mm-hmm.
So, the British are certain about one thing. Only 20 men made it out of that swamp alive and ended up captured.
What?
So, this is British side of the story.
Okay.
Is that everybody who made it out of the swamp, they captured. And there were only 20 of them. We captured them. Boop.
Mm-hmm. So, all 20.
Yeah. Which is a huge discrepancy in the half made it out.
Right.
So, we start to see some issues in history.
Okay.
Okay. So, it is also worth noting that Mr. Wright is really the only written account of this massacre. There are plenty of arguments out there to say that a few men may have been eaten by crocs, and I'm all for viewing things on both sides, so I just wanted to provide some counter evidence.
Okay. We love a devil's advocate.
Yeah. So, there is evidence to show that Mr. Wright wasn't even a eyewitness. Ah. He was just
some dude
around. And somewhere, probably a base camp, they were drinking, and some guy was like, did you hear about what happened over at Ramree Island? and he could have written it down.
Is that how bros talk?
I imagine.
I imagine, too.
I try not to hang out with bros too much.
Aww.
But, yeah, that's what I think.
Bros are okay. I'm not privy to a lot of candid bro conversation.
No, neither am I.
Mm-mm. I'm just not in the room where it happens.
I'm not sure that... Do you think they would have a candid bro conversation if we were in the room? Probably not.
Well, certainly not. We couldn't have, like... We couldn't communicate as candidly as we do.
That's true.
With men. I think there's just, like, a safe space there. A camaraderie. Yeah.
So, there is no mention of a croc attack in the Japanese military records anywhere.
Well, yeah, that's embarrassing to say that, like, your whole team got wiped out by crocodiles.
They're like, no, don't write it down. What will people think?
I know. What will people think? How embarrassing.
And that's what you just said. That they're shamed.
I know that's what I'm
saying. So... Okay, in 2006, Robert Duff, who was a vet from the 26th Division, told an oral history for the BBC. According to him, and this is in quotes, after a few weeks, we managed to push the Japanese to the swamp on the other side of the island, which was full of crocodiles. They decided to take their chances in the swamp rather than surrender. Only a handful came out alive. So it's like, again, in 2006, we're talking about the same story.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's hard to say, like, historically what happened, but there is a historian, Frank McLean, wrote a book and concluded that the Ramory Island Crocodile Massacre offends every single canon of historical viability. Verifiability. And also defies ecological logic. If thousands of crocodiles were involved in this massacre, how had these raving monsters survived before, and how were they able to survive later?
Right.
So that is the story of the Ramory Island Massacre.
Somebody's bluffing. Now I'll buy that some Japanese got gobbled up.
Absolutely.
I'll take that. I believe that there were screams of terror throughout the night and that something really awful happened on that island.
Oh, yeah.
And crocodiles were involved.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did they eat 980 people?
In, like, mostly one go? Probably. That's a lot of crocodiles.
That's a...
How would they even all fit together? They're...
Well, that's what
that I... That long...
And then, stacked up.
Oh,
vertically.
We're not doing like nose to tail. We're doing yeah.
Ranks, like not single file. They were taking notes from the Japanese making their way through the swamp.
Yeah, single file.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's hard to imagine that many crocodiles could have been in one place at one time.
It seems a little because crocodiles are like the apex predator. Mm-hmm. In the world. This seems like a little too easy for a croc. You know what I mean?
They probably were like watching them go by like, give me a challenge.
Right.
You're easy pickings. So.
Wow.
You know I love a creature feature.
You do love a creature feature. That one, that's wild.
Yeah. I saw it on TikTok.
Interesting. We've been all around the world with these animal attacks.
Yeah.
The sharks and the tiger or the lions and the crocodiles. And
I haven't done the dogs yet, and I am super excited about doing the dogs.
Is there like a group of dogs that attack people?
Not necessarily a group of dogs, but there were two dogs that killed a woman. And then there's a whole, it's like a true crime disaster situation that I think might not be too bad on your heart.
Okay.
So it's
do the
more...
dogs live?
No.
Okay.
No, they were not able to be rehabilitated. And through this story, I will tell you why.
Okay.
And I think that you will definitely be sad for the dogs. They did not deserve that. They did not deserve any part of the life that they lived. But
those dogs had to go.
I don't think that there is a good place for those dogs in this realm.
Okay, word. Solid.
So.
Hear you, feel you.
Yeah. I meant to tell you my sources.
I didn't tell you my sources either.
So I had dailyhistory.org, all that's interesting, and then How Stuff Works.
I had Sleep Mist, The Sandman by Megan McNeil, published July of 2023. And Who is the Sandman of Mythology and Folklore by Rodam Rusak, published on Nerdist.com August of 2022.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have a bright and shiny?
Oh my gosh. I would say, I'm very happy for my cat guest Clover to be here. Aww. And the human that she comes with.
Aww. That's so cute. That's so cute.
What's your bright and shiny?
My bright and shiny is, that's a tough one. This has been like such a bizarre week. I'm grateful to be in a place where I can be subjected to some very bizarre circumstances and it doesn't throw me off my footing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like what I used to be super, like I lost a listing earlier, like 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. I lost a listing lead. And the issue with this particular kind of lead is that they don't, there's no like, here's why. And having to like face that rejection without explanation.
Right.
Would have really taken up like 18 hours of emotional processing for me. And I would have gone through like a whole spiral. But yeah. I don't know. It's, I'm just glad to be in a place where it's like, nah.
Yeah. Another one will come.
And boy, do they.
Yeah.
And they do.
And that they do.
And that they do. And that they do. And I'm so great. My bright and shiny is that I'm busy. I'm really busy right now. So
good.
Feeling grateful for that pipeline in January.
Incredible.
God bless.
And this summer might be wild.
Oh, that's why this is a loose commitment to the podcast. I'm really not sure what this summer is going to bring, but so.
We'll bank as many as we can and we'll see what goes.
Go from there.
Yeah.
All right.
So follow us on Instagram.
On Instagram, because that's the only one we have.
Yeah. I guess if you're interested in sending us a story, you could send us an email at alittlebitgrim@gmail.com.
Do we have access to the Gmail?
We do.
Wow.
I changed the password.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. Well done. And be kind to yourself.
And to others.
Goodbye. Goodbye. We did it.
Two in a row.
Oh my gosh.
Like pro skis.
Like we've done this before.
A time or two ski?
One or two.